Weekend Breakfast
with Alison Curtis.
Playing the music you love.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Now, Graham, we have really kicked this off with the discussion. Your brand new book, Cook and Traditional Irish Cooking with Modern Twists. Before you joined us in studio, Cathal and I were talking about the fact that you've got three chapters, dinner, tea and supper. And it is a very Irish thing, isn't it?
Very Irish. Well, I have five meal times in there. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, tea and supper.
Yes.
Yes.
So it seems like you're condensing quite a few at the end of the day. Is that right?
There's a lot of meal times towards the end of the day, definitely.
It's divided people, but people very much have opinions on it. Before we jump into this, this is Pat on the topic.
Hi, Alison. Growing up on the farm, dinner was around typically 1 o'clock, which would be your lamb chops, maybe some steak, potatoes, bacon and cabbage, etc. Tea then would be around 4:30 or 5 o'clock, where it might be a cup of tea and a slice of bread and jam, etc., before you went and milked the cows. And then after the cows and the jobs were done, then you'd have your supper around maybe 9 o'clock at night, which would be waffles, sausages, chips, beans, peas, bread. And then off to bed and do it all again then the following day.
So supper, Graham, could arguably be bigger than tea.
It can be.
Okay. See,
So he was on a farm.
Yes.
And this is quite true, because they would have very, very long days. Lot of physical hard work.
Yes.
So you would have your breakfast in the morning, you have your lunch, and they wouldn't have lunch, they'd have dinner at early in the day.
Yes, yeah.
And then where I would refer to it as tea around 6 o'clock and then supper at six later.
Yeah.
He would have been the other way around. A light snack of tea and then a heavier supper.
Okay.
So it's a real mix. Like for me growing up, supper was that tiny little kind of light snack before going to bed.
Okay.
Like the book Cook is very much based in a time and a place. It's a tie, the 1980s.
Yes.
Into the 90s. We grew up in a three-story house over the family butcher shop. No central heating. It was cold.
Yeah.
So this was Mum basically packing us off to bed with kind of something warm inside us to
keep
us warm throughout the night. Yeah. So that's where kind of supper, that's my supper.
Yeah. And how many in the family again? Five in total.
Five of us, yeah. And middle child,
You're the middle. And so like something like, and Cathal had this as well, like cornflakes with warm milk or something warm.
Yeah. Going to bed. And I still do it. Like I still love something warm just before I go to bed. Like even if it's only a cup of tea and a biscuit.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a Mikado. Like I have Mikados in the book and they're just that traditional biscuit is so cozy with a cup of tea.
And you've given us loads here to enjoy, so thank you very much.
See, my version of Mikados now are to recreate that childhood memory of holding the biscuit in your hand, running your finger down, taking out the jam. The biscuits, the real Mikados have got smaller, our hands have got bigger, so
yes.
I need to create bigger Mikados to get that memory going.
They're nice size now. They're very nice size. So it's your second.
It's my second book.
Like it is stunning to look at and it's beautiful. And we've got two copies to give away in a few moments' time as well. But really what you wanted to do is like look at Irish cuisine and cooking and maybe put more modern day twist on it.
Yeah, so it is like a follow up to Bake. So when I was writing Bake, it was all about my granny teaching me how to bake. And then after I kind of put Bake to bed and it was all out there in the public, I was like, the itch to write again was there. And I was like, what way will I do this? And I realized it was so much more to my growing up. It was growing up over the family pork butchers. So that has a heavy, very heavy influence on it. Like lots of bacon and cabbage and roast pork and things like that. So that childhood memories of growing up on the street, the other shopkeepers, they all come into it in a very heavy way. But that, me describing life on 4 Duke Street, it basically is every town in the country.
Yeah, and
they
had
their little grocery shop, they had the little sweet shop, they had the newsagent, they had the bakery.
Mm.
It was like, and I used to be talking to somebody in England during the week and they were saying, it's exactly the same. That 4 Duke Street in Kildare was the same as their town in growing up in England, which
is
lovely.
And I love that you have, it's very early in the book, like you've got the actual street and a map with like little nods to the different things that were there.
I see, and again, I grew up on the street. I didn't grow up in a house with it, so I didn't have neighbours in that sense.
Yeah.
So all these shopkeepers and people that worked in shop became my neighbours.
Yeah.
So it was a very different upbringing, but I loved it. When I look back at it now, I absolutely loved it.
Do your siblings have the same kind of, like, do you reminisce and go, oh yeah? Because sometimes I find with my sister now, she remembers things differently than me.
I think we all remember things differently. And like, definitely as you get older, you look back at kind of, there is a bit of rose-tinted glasses on how nice everything was. And but again, I'm lucky, I don't remember the recession of the 80s or how tough it was for my dad, in all fairness, was losing his business in the 90s. I wasn't really part of that. I just had a lovely upbringing on a street where the whole street was my playground. It was quite different. So you do look back on your childhood with a little bit of rose-tinted glasses. But I soon remember the good times and the bad times.
Of course. Yeah. And food and smells are such significant things to bring you back to time and place. So there's over 100 recipes. We've talked about now the difference of the three meals there.
Yeah.
Now, something that also was new to me when I first moved here, I was like, what is a mummy salad or a mammy salad?
Or an Irish salad plate or whatever you want to call it. It is just the good classics of... And there's a couple of rules. It has to be butterhead lettuce. It can't be iceberg or anything fancy. The tomatoes have to be cut into wedges.
Okay.
There has to be a bit of crinkle cut beetroot.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah. Meat has to be rolled up to make it look posh.
Okay.
You have to roll your slices of meat up to make it look really, really posh. And then a little bit of egg mayonnaise. So like hard-boiled eggs with some mayonnaise. And like that little tiny jar of paprika that's been sitting in the press for about 10 years.
Sprinkle that.
A little dusting of that on top. And they're some of the rules of mammy salad. Yeah,
and you've mixed it up a little bit though in the book.
Well, see, again, because we had the butcher shop, like we would have, like we could go out to the shop and pick whatever meat we wanted, or we also had roast chickens in the shop and things like that. So we kind of could have whatever we wanted meat wise. And then, like, my mum is a brilliant cook. Like we always had like coleslaw and potato salad. But like that was our summers. Our summers, like the every single night nearly. And like mum would cook fresh new potatoes. We have hot potatoes with this mammy salad. And I just, it is my childhood. And it's still one of my favourite things to eat.
And potato sandwiches. Now, first time I have a Canadian friend, we went to Amsterdam together and got back on the airplane the next day a little bit tired to come back to Ireland. And on the flight, they're like, you can make your own potato sandwich. And I was like, this is, oh my God, I've got to tell you how to do this, Jen. And she's like, what? 3 seconds in, she's like, but you've got a real twist on this with your own bread.
Yeah, so it's my own potato, cheese and onion bread.
Oh my God.
So it's a really simple soda bread, like a wet soda bread, which is really simple to make. But in there, there is potato, onion, cheese and onion crisps in the bread.
Yes.
Cheese, caramelized onions and chives. So you like that punch. Oh, and a little bit of onion salt as well.
So good.
And it's just an extra punch of cheese and onion throughout the whole sandwich. It's brilliant.
It's brilliant. Do you know what I love as well in the book? It's early in where you talk about the difference in, it's only on page 10 actually, a pinch, a knob, a glug, a dash, a sprinkle and a handful.
But we hear
they're legitimate.
Oh, no, we do actually hear all these sounds. Do you know what I mean? And everyone say put a dash of oil into a pan. You're like, what is, and I've tried to do it both in bake and in cook now. There is that section of the stupid things that you want to know, but you're frightened of asking. Like, I always remember when I first started getting really into food, and like, how do you keep your eggs out of the fridge or keep them in the fridge? What do you do with it? What is a handful of parsley?
Yeah.
Like, I know, but not everybody knows, and my hands are different size than everybody else's. Yeah. So it's lovely to have been able to put that in just so people have an idea of what. I think I have a dollop in there as well. Like a dollop of cream. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? How much are these things? I think it's important that people know these references.
I have never seen that in a book at all. I mean, like, cookbooks are a pretty arguably saturated market. There's a lot out there, but I have never seen that anywhere, and I loved it so much. So we've got two copies of Cook to give away now, and you just text in Cook, you know how to spell it, 0874-100-102 along with your own name. And you've got lots of events coming up, Graham, as well.
Yeah, so next week on Tuesday night we're having the launch of the book in a tie, because I had to bring the book home to a tie because it's such a reference to it. So in the library in a tie on Tuesday evening at 6:30, and then all next weekend I'm at Taste of Kildare in this race course.
Oh, lovely.
And I have this very special event on the Saturday afternoon where I'm hosting an afternoon tea with Newbridge Silverware.
Nice.
Which is, it's been so much fun planning that.
Great.
And Killishy House is getting involved with that with some savoury food, and it's going to be a fantastic weekend there.
You're busy, and Dahi is with us as well. He's outside waiting by the phone. You have your own place still as well, of course.
Yes, we have our shop in Rialto, just literally beside the roundabout in Rialto. That's where we sell all of our baked goods. Like, I'm exhausted this week because I'm still a full-time baker. Like,
yeah,
I do my 8 or 10 hours in the kitchen and then I'm running around launching books and doing interviews. So I'm really enjoying it, but all of our stuff is available in the shop in Rialto
in Dublin,
and of course Cook and Baker there as well.
Thank you so much, Graham.
Thank you so much.
Do you like Chapel Rowan?
Lover. Absolutely lover.
Hot to go. Here we go.
Weekend Breakfast with Alison Curtis, playing the music you love.
Today FM.
It all happens here. Today.